And we'll do Residual Hauntings Revived Tuesday night special edition because technical difficulties love to hit WRHR on Monday nights.
Technically, we had issues.
Technically. Officially as well.
Yes.
And it's true.
I want to blame the internet, but I'm going to have to blame PC Tools because it was doing an update while I was trying to talk on Skype. And apparently, it didn't like my bandwidth at all. So, yeah, that's the reason why it didn't work. But we're back. We're here. This is the last show of the year.
Hopefully, we're actually broadcasting.
Yes, hopefully.
In fact, maybe somebody should check that.
You have, like, some earphones, something you can plug into.
Go get some earphones.
That would be awesome. So, yeah. So, I have to say that I'm really starting to get frustrated with drivers. Especially ones that don't know how to park or pull out of parking spots. I sat in my parking spot out in front of Walmart tonight for 10 minutes waiting for this lady behind me pull out her giant SUV out of the parking spot at Walmart. One, if you're going to drive a large vehicle like that, you should be able to at least park and pull out of a spot. Two, if you cannot pull out of a park spot with a large SUV, then park the damn thing at the end of the parking lot. Not as close to the door as you can get.
But that's the American way.
Oh, it's driving me crazy. I'm like, I honestly almost got out of my vehicle, walked up to her and said, would you like me to pull your car out of the parking lot for you?
I can close it as well.
It was driving me insane. I'm sitting there like, come on, I've got to get dinner. I've got to get over to Jess's. Will you hurry up? And 'tis the season for ornerous as well.
Yeah, in fact, we had a friend in California that creamed. Was it this morning or yesterday morning? By somebody who didn't know how to drive.
Well, it's not so much the driving. It's also the attitude people have in the stores now. It's like, rah, rah, rah. We forget what the season is. I don't care what holiday you celebrate. We're supposed to try to be kind to each other this time of year.
It's not Holden. The person who has the biggest vehicle doesn't get to choose their right of way.
I just don't know.
I live by that rule.
Well, when you're Holden, yeah. Well, that's only because in Holden, you know, there's 50 people in town.
But they drive tractors that take up four spots.
Well, this is true.
No.
No, we're not broadcasting, she's saying. We're not broadcasting, is it? Is it the weird sound again? I'm glad to know that it's not me. That makes me happy. Well, I don't know what that is then, because everything seems to be fine with
Winamp.
Can I
just blame it on her headset?
No, because this is probably a really expensive headset.
Just because I spent a lot of money doesn't mean it's good.
It's pretty.
Kevin, whatever.
Do you not know Kevin? Kevin only has to have the best of the best, because that's how Kevin
is. It is broadcasting, though, because I could actually hear us talking.
It's staticky?
It's got staticky in the background.
I don't know. That's strange.
So anybody in the room, which is going to have to listen to the static.
Yeah, I can try to see if I can get into chat today, because I haven't been able to the last few times. It keeps telling me that I got a new computer. It's got Windows 8. I really like Windows 8, but that little add-ons and all the software that I've used.
Everybody else isn't ready.
Microsoft, anything that has to deal with Microsoft works great. Everybody else, screw you.
And those were the drivers I thought you were talking about.
Those drivers are driving crazy, too. I actually uninstalled the Windows 8 Skype and installed the Windows 7 version of Skype so I could actually use Skype, because the Windows 8 version was an app. It wasn't like, didn't have like the downloadable stuff. It was really confusing, and it was driving me crazy. I couldn't even find the tools to adjust the sound.
Huh.
On the Windows 8 version.
And that's why people are hating Windows 8. It's because it's so confusing and just...
And every single time that there's a new update or a new OS, everybody hates it at first. And then
not all the time.
Windows XP I hated, but I loved 2000. And, I mean...
Yeah.
The reason why I didn't like XP is that I couldn't get into the BIOS. It took me forever to figure out how to use to get into the BIOS to fix things. So... I haven't even tried a Windows 8 because I don't have time for it, let alone I don't want to jack up my laptop now that it seems to be working okay. Ah.
Mostly.
Are we all ready for Christmas?
Nope.
Nope.
Me either. I got a week.
Well, it's good to know that we're all on the same page.
I got a week. I got Christmas Eve night. 7-Eleven's got some awesome gift options.
It's going to be like with, I can't think of who it was, the commercial for some shipping company, where the guy comes in and asks him, is it still too late? Is it too late to ship presents? And the guy's like, no. And he hands him a box and he says, where's your present? And he looks over and sees the cup of the pencils and pens. Grabs them, chucks them in the box, folds it up, and hands it back to the guy.
I was going to say, you know, some of them Keebler cheese crackers and a prophylactic. I mean, it's food and the gift that shows love.
Yeah. I've seen cheesier gifts.
No.
I was confused that I was going to be the one that's going to be able to say that.
You were confused?
I was going to be the one that, was, that somebody didn't jump out.
Oh, well, you know. I have had this feeling on my brain all day like I have forgotten something. Not important, just something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It'll probably hit me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll wake up and I'll be like, son of a... And I won't go back to sleep.
And you won't be able to do anything about it because it'll be...
3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So if anybody gets a message from me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I apologize.
You may send it. I won't be getting it.
So I'm kind of OCD, if nobody knew that, about electronic items. Uh-huh. I'm a little obsessed about it. I'm not as bad as Kevin when it comes to cost of items. When items don't work, I get extremely frustrated very easily. And so my phone today, for some crazy reason, decided to gout on me. I don't know exactly what happened, but I took it. Just for the fact that I don't like contracts, I don't want to sign a contract, I don't want to be stuck with a bill, you know, whatever. If I want to cancel it, cancel it. Anyway, so they have this nifty little backup feature as one of the apps. So I backed up my phone numbers and then did a factory restall. Yeah, I didn't back up all my phone numbers. So this is another message to anybody that I've had your phone number, listen to the show, send it back to me because, yeah, I don't have it now. I'll be posting that on Facebook as well, including I don't have my wife's phone number.
You don't have that memorized?
I hardly have mine memorized.
You know what? I don't have mine memorized because I never call my cell phone.
And I just push button. That's why they're on my phone.
No, I memorize all the important people's just in case something were to happen, I still contact who I need to contact.
You're young. You've got memory search space.
Really?
What's mine?
She said, she said important.
She just needs to know what slot I parked in at the Walmart parking lot. That's all she needs to know.
My thing is my phone number is very close to my work number, and I have to say my work number like 50 billion times a day. Because, you know, when I call an insurance company, they ask to verify my phone number as part of the HIPAA, give them a number.
Right.
So my number, my cell number, and my desk phone number at work are like 2 digits off of each other. It's very strange. Have you ever read any...
Wait till she has a senior moment, then she won't trust her memory.
Yeah, she's still young. Give her till she's 35 and she'll be
like... Wait till she has a kid, then she'll start having momnesia.
Yes.
Whatever.
Momnesia. I think it's just parentnesia. All right, so how is everybody? We all good. We all on happy pills.
Just getting there. I didn't refill my happy pills.
I've been fighting off a cold for the last 2 days.
Don't you dare give it to me. The holidays are coming, and I do not want to be sick for Christmas. I've got a week off from work. I'm planning on enjoying it. Although my son wants me to take him up camping into the mountains in the snow next week.
And then you will get sick.
Yeah.
That's when you'll get sick.
They're just like any business.
They're scared of me.
My animals are scared of you?
No, just your cat. I don't know. The cats just did me for some reason. I don't know.
That's better than digging into.
She gets really lovey sometimes. It's kind of. She's kind of bipolar.
I'm extremely disappointed in the snow last night, too. It snowed hard, but it was like gone.
Oh, yeah. It was a blizzard.
I was so thankful it didn't stick to the road because that would have sucked driving home from work. It was like slush.
It was really wet. Crap. It was really wet.
Yeah.
So, yes, we got snow here in Utah. Kat, I'm not taking you home. As much as my daughter would love it, I'm not taking you home.
Yeah, you can have her.
And then you will have wished you had Tom's phone number.
No, I will wish
Cat back.
I will wish I had Jess's phone number because they didn't back up. Speaking of which, Jess, I need you to send your phone number. Just text it to me because I know I'm in your phone.
It's just like start taking your phone numbers.
Okay. Now,
or
think,
just like email
think
him to
that
him.
Through.
No. Okay, I'll send him to him on Facebook.
Okay.
But it'll be the wrong
say,
number.
Think that through, because
call me
if
and be like,
I send
oh,
him
sorry.
A text.
And then I'll send like another wrong number.
If I send him in a text and I type in the wrong phone number,
right.
He'll still have the correct phone number as a recipient.
We are talking
text.
About Tom here.
So Tom would enter in the wrong phone number.
I would enter in
they
the wrong phone
number. I better have both of them.
I better have both of them, yes. Because we are talking about Tom. And no, Tom is not trying to talk in third person. It just happens to be that way today. What are we going to talk about tonight? I've totally forgotten. Should we jump into movie review? Because Jess, I know,
okay.
is so excited to review this movie.
Are you?
So excited. Did you watch the movie?
I did.
Yeah.
last... Friday,
look, he's
Saturday.
Like always right on top of that. Go to them; they're awesome.
We have yeah, on a Saturday and do a couple of bumpers and figure out how to play them later.
I still need a night flight and buy.
We play them fine. They just have they
yes, or technical difficulties because it's Monday night. You still have to go.
I still have to go buy a Hobbit book because I wanted one, and now that I have a job, I could afford it because it looks amazing.
I need to get that, but I got Addie the. My Little Pony, number one.
Yeah.
She will not. Aww. She loves it. I mean, I'm definitely going to have to get her a monthly My Little Pony.
Zombie ponies?
The zombie ponies in it. It's pretty cool. The artwork is really good. I guess it's in between season two and season three, the storyline. Not that I'm really paying that much attention to season two, My Little Pony. They kind of got lost in season.
Tom's going to be a brony.
A brony.
Brohoof.
And then Justin Bieber is going to be, I'm going to be a fan.
Brony?
A brony is a guy.
A little pony fan.
Yeah.
Who happens to male.
Oh. Yes. Okay.
A brony.
See, I didn't
what do you
know
call
that.
A girl fan?
A grony?
Frony?
A grony?
We usually
a grony?
Go by bronies.
Bronies?
As well. Yeah. Everyone's bronies. Every pony. Every pony can be included.
So the movie review is brought to you by Nightflight Comics. Go check them out. They are at two locations, Murray and downtown Salt Lake. The Murray location is 6222 South State Street. The downtown location is at the downtown library, gazebo, plaza, whatever you want to call it. Thing. The downtown library one is going to be there until probably March. And then they will be moving to the Murray location. But go check them out. Great deals, great fun, great comic shop. And if you don't know what to look for in a comic, just talk to anybody there, and they will tell you. They are awesome about finding what your interests are. Comics pretty regularly, so.
Beware, because they'll get you addicted.
As a matter of fact, I've got to go tomorrow or Thursday and pay up my monthly addiction.
Good stuff. Anyways, the movie I reviewed was Reanimator, based on H.P. Lovecraft. Correct?
Based.
Yes.
Yes. Loosely based.
I kind of really loved it. When it started out, I thought it had a really awesome feel, and I thought it had a lot of potential, and then at the end, it kind of went to crap.
Well, you know, it is Lovecraft, and he is a little weird, and...
That was beyond weird. That was just creepy of grossness. Who wants to see that crap?
Or have the thought that zombies can work even if you do decapitate them.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's stupid. Reanimates the head. I'm like, oh, don't do it. Don't do the body, too. I'm like, don't do it. He'll be able to fight back. And he still reanimated the body.
You know, the thing is, I don't think it was so much zombies that it was just reanimating a dead scene.
Well, and because I couldn't figure out is if you reanimate that and you reanimate body and head is in charge of the body, why does the body wander around like it's lost when the head can see what the body is doing?
Well, maybe. The head was controlling the body. He was telling him where to go.
Right.
That's how he knew how to open.
So why was the body lost and he ran like a blind man?
Right. Well, while he opened doors and walking through them just fine.
Yeah, how did he walk? When he stuck the medical thing on top for the head,
yeah.
How did he run when the head was, like, sticking the bowling bag?
Yeah, that I'm quite sure of. That is a very good point. Yes.
He walked right into the hospital just fine and snuck past the security guard while the head was stuffed in a bag.
I just can't get over that severed head licking the woman all over. That's gross. An image I did not need in my brain. Thank you, Tom, for that.
You're welcome. Well,
just gross. Anyways, it was okay. It had a lot of potential, and then it just disappointed me at the end.
I have to say, I am rather new to Lovecraft. I mean, we're talking maybe 10 years that I've really, 10, maybe 12 years I've gotten into Lovecraft. I never really introduced him as a kid. And he kind of is that way. It's like, does he just run out of ideas towards the end of most of his stories, and he just, or is it that
he has great ideas and he just doesn't know how to wrap them up at the end?
That's possible, because almost every story I've read has been like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lovecraft is a major influence in most horror today, and most horror from almost any horror. Lovecraft has got there's a little Lovecraft influence in him. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Anyway, how many had to think about this one?
I'm gonna give it probably 7.
She's still over here rolling.
Yeah.
It's not even gonna be an above average.
No.
Oh,
you know.
It saddened me when it just all went to crap. It really did, because it had a lot of potential. I was liking it just fine. You know, maybe not like one of my favorite ones, but it was okay. Until like the end, and it was just like it all wreck. No.
You know, it was just ruined it. That particular movie, but started watching a different series that's also on Netflix, which is where we get them all, called Shadows. Dark Shadows.
I apologize for that.
Which was the original one back in 1967.
Oh, I love the original Dark
and
Shadows.
It was like they didn't do takes. They just recorded it, because even when they screw up their lines, it's still in the episode.
Well, it was because they were broadcast live.
When the very first guy like touches him on the shoulder, and he like just because he's surprised, oh, like what the crap was that? Like, but I did love the part where he brought the cat back to life and it's all clinging to his back. He's like, get it off. That was pretty funny.
I was looking for a movie to watch, but my Internet Explorer, I think you cursed my computer. My Internet Explorer just started jerking, just started screwing around on me. So, well, not
I
Internet.
I did find another interesting movie that was kind of a little bit different. Do you realize that Japan remade the movie Ghost?
No. What? Are you sure they remade it?
Yes.
Because typically we base horror movies off of Japanese.
No, they
comics
they
off
did.
The British.
It's on Netflix, 2010.
Really?
They did the Patrick Swayze type Ghost, the story of Ghost. I watched it just because I wanted to see.
They even do the pottery
the
scene.
Yeah, they did, and they actually did.
I've got to watch this now.
Okay, they actually did the Righteous Brothers song,
Unchained
but it's
Melody?
A Japanese guy singing it.
Oh, we are definitely. Oh, we're reviewing this. If it's still, what's the name? Is it called Ghost? Oh,
it's
definitely. All three of us. You've watched it, but just tonight, I got to watch
it
now.
I just finished watching it because it has a little bit of a different ending to it. They changed the ending, and they reversed the roles.
Oh, so the girl's the dead person.
The girl's the dead person, not the guy.
After an anatomy.
All right. I've got to watch this. This
is 2010.
Yeah.
Do I read subtitles?
Yes, you have to read subtitles.
Yep, it is to be definite. Don't need subtitles.
They even,
They
brought in the ditto, but it's in Japanese. They don't say ditto, but the subtitles say ditto.
Huh.
I'm going to watch this weekend. Friday night, I'm watching Ghost, the Japanese version. It's got to be better than the original.
It was different.
Okay, so that's... see, now...
But now Jess is going to hate me because it has subtitles.
See, and I like subtitle movies, some subtitle movies that don't bother me at all.
Yeah, but you have to sit there and watch it because you can't just listen and know what's going on.
It makes me have to watch the movie.
Exactly.
Because I have a tendency to be like you and do something else.
Well, what I usually do is like... Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so we'll watch that next week.
2 hours and stare at a screen.
watch that next week. Is it 2 hours?
It's actually an hour and 55 minutes. I was thinking it was shorter, but no, it's an hour and 55 minutes.
You see that? All
right, so you have not seen The Hobbit yet, right?
No.
All right. I do not want to give away too much, but I do have to bring up the fact.
It looked amazing, right?
The 3D high film rate is unbelievable.
Freaking amazing.
Everybody kept telling me, it's going to be like a soap opera. You're going to be like, no. The 3D made the difference. I actually was dodging in parts of the film. I found myself
moth that like comes out. You're like, whoa!
I actually found myself, found myself subconsciously having to move out of the way of things because I thought I was going
to
get hit.
And that's interesting because we have a author friend that went to it and saw it in the high frame rate with 3D, and it drove him crazy. But then he went and watched it normal. And said he liked the movie and the high frame rate was okay, but he hated the 3D effects.
I love the 3D effects. Yeah.
And the high frame rate was absolutely amazing. I loved it.
From the minute the screen opens up and you're seeing the Shire.
Yeah.
I was like, almost.
And you're like, it's so clear.
It's like I could step. I was like, I could just step into the screen and be a part of the film.
Yeah. Right.
It blew my mind. If you're going to go see it, you've got to see it, at least in the high film rate. If you're not into the 3D thing, and I know some people, they've been talking about some people getting motion sickness and things like that. If you're easily car sick or things like that, maybe you shouldn't do it. Because there is some pretty fast motion.
Especially right up at the first.
Yeah. So you may feel a little motion sickness there. But I was just, and I think they did a pretty decent job following the storyline.
Well, absolutely. And I really love the fact that he's pulling in things from where Tolkien went back and like rewrote parts. Like, if I were to write it differently, I would put this and this and this.
Yeah.
And well, Jackson took that into account, and I really love that.
Was one of the things that I heard people were complaining about. Oh, I don't remember the stone giants. And I'm like, did you read the book?
Yeah, it was. They were in there.
They were in there. Gandalf points them out specifically. Those are the storm giants fighting.
Yeah.
That's not thunder. Those are the storm giants fighting.
It was a mention, but they were there.
Yeah.
They were even in the video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like chucking rocks at them.
Yeah, they were in the cartoon version. I remember them being in the cartoon version. So, highly recommended. It has definitely become the number one film of the year for me.
Absolutely.
Avengers is now number two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that they've stretched it into three movies. Because I think the pacing is fantastic. It didn't feel too fast. It didn't feel too slow. It felt just right for me.
And it gave a good chance for you to build the characters. To understand who these characters are.
Because they've gone in a lot more in depth to the dwarves than Tolkien originally did.
And
was one thing when I read the book. Yeah. I was always getting confused with the frickin' dwarves.
Exactly. Because
they were grouping them. They grouped like two or three of them together, and so you could never figure out which one was which out of those three. And
See, now the only thing I don't remember is Gandalf and the Queen Elf.
Galadriel?
Galadriel. I don't remember that relationship in the book. It's been a while since I've read the book. I need to read the book again. But
they kind of hinted to it in Lord of the Rings, though. If you think about it, when
she's lost, and I kind of maybe that was kind of a bleed in. I'm looking forward to seeing the director's cut version.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a 4-hour movie, each one of them.
Right.
So I was telling my boys, we're going to have a Hobbit Lord of the Rings marathon that's going to run 26 hours.
Yeah, and it'll be amazing.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be wondering, what am I going to do when I see it on my TV?
Yeah.
It's going to be a major disappointment to me. I have got to go see it back in the theater again before it leaves the theater.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because it was so beautiful. I mean, really.
Or get a really nice Blu-ray player.
I don't want to get a 3D one. I don't think I want, but that high, I really cannot get over that high film rate.
Yeah.
I've heard so many things negative about it and people dragging on it.
I think it's just the mentality that movies are supposed to be shot in 24 FPS.
Yeah.
And that's the way movies are supposed to look. And I think it's just a mentality that we need to get over that. Like, we've advanced technologically.
Yeah.
Far enough that we can still make special effects and stuff look pretty dang amazing.
I'm telling you, it is the step to holograms.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I can see 10, 15, 20 years from now, sitting in a circular room and feeling like you're in the film.
Yeah.
But incredible, well worth it, fantastic movie. I'm looking forward to the next
and
two.
And if you read the book, like my favorite part was always the riddle with Gollum.
Yeah.
That part. It was freaking amazing.
It
Andy
was.
Andy Serkis did an amazing job.
Yeah.
and loved it.
And Martin Freeman.
Yes.
Is incredible
yeah.
as Frodo. And have you him and the guy that played it in Lord of the Rings.
They look a lot alike.
And I noticed Martin Freeman must have watched Lord of the Rings a lot with just Frodo. I mean, Bilbo.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of the same facial expressions.
Yeah.
You know?
It's pretty awesome.
I mean,
to get it to bleed over.
To bleed over so well. It was, Peter Jackson has kicked Star Wars' his ass.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Peter Jackson has taken Lucas's, one of the greatest films of our time, and he has kicked its butt. Not with just Lord of the Rings, but now he's going to have 6 movies that are just going to blow the Star Wars franchise away. And
Joss
Whedon.
You wonder, because you don't know what Disney's going to do when they come out with the next
one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
true.
I'm interested to see that.
I'm interested to see what Disney's going to do.
Because Lucas is gone, so maybe he'll start getting good again.
Yeah. Well,
you mean no more Wookiee holiday special?
I love the Wookiee holiday special. I celebrate Wookiee Day every year. But just like Joss Whedon, I think Peter Jackson has now just said, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
$84 million weekend. $84 million weekend.
Yeah.
I think it broke
world record.
And they released it worldwide on the same time. Usually it comes to America first and then it hits Europe like 2 months later or something like that. But they did worldwide release. So,
right.
Well worth it. Got to go see it. If you're a geek, you'll love it. If you haven't read the books, I think you'll like it.
Even if you don't read The Lord of the Rings, if you just read The Hobbit.
Hobbit.
I mean, The Hobbit's, you know, it's a standalone.
It is a standalone. I mean, and it was meant to be a standalone.
And, you know, I always liked Lord of the Rings because I felt like the characters were more developed. But I'm kind of liking The Hobbit movie more than I liked Lord of the Rings.
This is the first time I actually liked dwarfs. And you know
how I feel about
dwarfs.
Feely and... Oh. The two brothers.
The two brothers.
Yeah.
They are awesome.
I love them.
And the bard dwarf, the singing dwarf.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. He's like, he's just, and the scene where Bilbo, I mean, finally gets the guts, I mean, and the dwarfs, I mean, it was just, it was reminiscence of you bow to no one.
Yeah.
You know, that feel of maybe there is something to hobbits.
Right.
Maybe they aren't just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. There is something to these guys. It was just this awesome feel throughout the entire film. I really loved it. So, well worth it. I'm going to go again. I'm definitely going to go see it again. $30 though cost us like $34 for me and the two boys to go see it.
Yeah.
And then you figure we probably spent another $10 on popcorn and a drink, and it was an expensive day to see that movie.
Did you see $10.50. It down at Jordan Landing?
Yeah, Jordan Landing $10.50 for the matinee. To see it in the 3D.
Yeah.
I may want to go just check it out in just the high frame, not the 3-rate, and just see the difference.
Yeah.
To see how different they are.
Sometimes it messes with the color, but I thought the color looked pretty amazing in 3D as well.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I wanted to introduce a new segment this week. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I want to introduce how to make it through an outbreak. Just some suggestions and ideas that I have.
Okay, and you're referring
too
specifically
bad it'll only
to
be 1 week.
Zombie outbreak.
Yeah, well,
you know,
the world does come to an end
on Friday.
So this one is specifically.
Sometimes an end is just a new beginning.
This is true, and that's a very good way of putting it. I haven't really come up with a name with this segment. I was just thinking about it the other day. Many people that know me know that I am kind of a prepper. I'm not as bad as the people on the TV, but I want to be ready just in case anything happens. And I think being ready for a zombie outbreak is the best way of doing it. I am a zombie freak. So I was thinking, I wanted to talk a little bit about surviving a zombie outbreak in an urban situation. Because a lot of people don't understand the concept of living in an urban society. We're not talking rural. We're talking New York City. We're talking downtown Salt Lake City. What would you do? My best advice for you is if you're living in a large community, a large city, stay put. Gather as much as you can in your apartment and block every entrance and exit you can with whatever you have. Beds, dressers, doors, whatever. Fill your bathtubs up with water, cover them with tarps or whatever. Just stay there as long as you can. Now, here's my reasoning. There are 20,000 people living in Salt Lake City. I don't know how many people there are in downtown. There's quite a lot of people living in downtown Salt Lake. Outbreak happens. All of them are going to be trying to run away. You are putting yourself out in the middle of insanity. I honestly think the best situation you can do is stay where you put, wait for it to calm down, and then try to escape. What do you think? Come on, input.
Kevin, I think we need our own private chopper.
You've got the troll. Now, he'll eat as much. Oh, there we go. Yeah, he'll eat as much zombie meat.
When you say
meat
chopper, are you talking like a motorcycle, or
like helicopter?
It's a chopper, baby.
Or are you talking like a really big bladed implement?
Yes to all three.
It's not a motorcycle. It's a chopper, baby. Zed's dead. Now, if you're in a rural area, it's a little different. Staying put is a good idea, but building your defenses on the outside. Not locking yourself in the house, but building around your house so you have access to growing gardens and things like that, I think is a good idea. So what I would suggest is if you live in an apartment, like I do, here are some really good hints of ways to store food. Because one of your biggest issues is you just don't have a lot of room. What I've actually done is I've actually taken rubber tub, the big rubber totes.
Right.
I think they're 30-quart ones. Putting a piece of wood on top of them, putting food into it, putting a cloth over it, and making an end table.
Right.
Under your bed is a great location to put stuff. Another thing that I'm starting to do, too, is you can hang things on doors, closet doors. So get little racks and you hook things on the closet doors and start building up in your apartment. So if you're in an urban area and you're a little concerned about the zombie outbreak, think about what you have. Almost everybody's got two or three beds. The box frames are ideal to block up doors. Use them, put a couch against them. That'll help. Windows, tables, dressers, whatever you can get your hands on. If you live on the second floor of an apartment, or on the if not on the first floor, but on the above, block the stairwells. And then block your apartment. Make it even harder for them to get in. Just some small suggestions on how to survive the zombie outbreak. But
if you block the stairwells, then they know someone's there.
Not if it's zombies, though. I mean, you do have to worry about the living as well.
But I don't think zombies are completely stupid.
I'm hoping they are. I don't want Carter Reed zombies. Carter Reed zombies scare the hell out of me. Carter Reed zombies are, hey, I've been bitten. Well, I'm never going to die, but I'm still as smart as I was alive.
I don't think they become brain dead. I think they become more instinctual. They go off of smell or sound, more off of instinct than reasoning.
Well, then just throw a bunch of dead zombies in the pile there. That'll help hide it.
Throw them off the scent?
Throw them off the scent.
Well, you'd have to collect that.
Well, that's easy. They're zombies.
Well, yeah.
If they're my zombies, they're dumb. And they're not 28 days later, and they're not Carter Reed zombies.
Still buying Carter a snow Reed, leopard to protect
or,
my house.
Or warm body zombies?
Warm bodies. Mm. Ugh. Warm body. Oh, yeah.
The new movie.
The new movie. Took me a second. When does that come out? Does that come out Valentine's Day weekend?
No, I think it's springtime, isn't it?
I think they should release it Valentine weekend. That would be funny. That's just me. Anyway. All right. So next time we will be talking about, I don't know, I'll think of something. We'll see how this goes. If it doesn't work, it was worth a try.
See what feedback you have.
Yeah, what feedback I get. And it was a good segue into the Panda News, which is brought to us by The Zombie Nation. TheZombieNation.com, where it's not just boobs, or not just zombies, it's not just rednecks, it's rednecks, zombies, and boobs. and a little Cthulhu thrown into it as well. Who would have known Cthulhu could change the undead? If you haven't been following the Zombie Nation, you need to check it out. TheZombieNation.com, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Our good friend Carter Reed has a new comic strip right there. You can pick up a lot of great things there, a lot of his little swag. He's also got a great Facebook page, and he's a sponsor of the Panda News.
Okay. We will start in Myrtle Beach.
Florida?
North Carolina.
Oh.
Police in North Carolina said a woman who refused to pull over for police called 911 to say she would stop her vehicle for $300,000.
Oh, I heard this one.
Brunswick County Sheriff's deputies said they attempted to pull over a vehicle driven by Jennifer Herring, 37, around 11:30 p.m. Monday, but the driver refused to stop. Deputy said Herring called 911 during the chase and told a dispatcher there was no emergency and she would not stop unless police promised her $300,000.
I'm holding myself hostage, people.
The sheriff's office said Herring was arrested when she pulled into a private driveway. The arrest report said Herring had been driving about 70 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour speed zone. Herring was charged with driving while impaired, felony fleeing to elude arrest, driving while license is revoked, careless and reckless driving, and driving left of center, the newspaper reported. She was also charged in an unrelated case on a charge of failing to appear in court for a driving while impaired charge. So, I mean, maybe she was just trying to get bail money out of it before she pulled over.
Just watch too many
How
movies.
Much is this going to cost me?
And Christmas is coming, so I need a little extra cash. I want an iPod.
Okay, we will move on to Philadelphia. Police are searching for a bungling burglar who tumbled through the ceiling of a Philadelphia pharmacy, then needed four tries to climb back out empty-handed. Surveillance footage shows the man lowering himself through a hole in the ceiling, then tumbled to the floor in a shower of building materials when something gave way. The man quickly stuffs prescription drugs into a bag, then attempts to climb back out. After three unsuccessful tries, one that ends him landing hard on his butt for the second time in just over a minute, the man hoists himself back through the hole. Police say the perpetrator left behind his hard hat and backpack in his haste to get away. Investigators say an accomplice helped the man break in through the building's roof.
You know, on a side note, this is actually becoming a big issue. Construction sites having items stolen. I've been reading a lot of stories of brand new buildings, people coming in and stealing all the copper overnight.
Oh yeah, to sell the copper.
Copper. It's becoming a big issue with a lot of construction sites, and it's increasing costs. So, as funny as this is, it's pretty relevant. I mean, it's kind of sad. Anyway, so,
yeah,
moving on.
We'll move to Detroit. The owner of Red Smoke Barbecue Restaurant in Detroit's Greektown says a man stole their pig statue from the restaurant on Sunday.
Squeal like a piggy!
The man apparently paid his bill using a credit card and then picked up the ceramic statue and simply walked out. Witnesses say the man went into an elevator with a woman who asked him what he was carrying. The man told the woman he was carrying his statue that he took from the restaurant. The woman asked if she could take a picture of him and the pig. The man agreed to the photo, not knowing the woman was friends with an employee at the restaurant, and the mystery of the stolen pig was born. The pig was given to the restaurant's owner, Tasso Teftsis, as a gift from an employee a couple of years ago for his 50th birthday. I guess I should have glued it down if I thought somebody was going to take it. I don't know where he got it from, but it was like whenever he got it, he knew it was the perfect present for me. The pig used to sit on the counter of the restaurant holding a chalkboard sign welcoming diners. Workers loved it, and so did customers. He's always there. Please play with him and his little sign that says, "Welcome to Red Smoke," said manager Chanda Ladd. Workers are hoping the man brings the pig back to the counter where he belongs. We are looking for a pig that is about 2 feet high. I would say about 30 pounds. And it's got a little chef's hat on it, the owner said. Oh. They just want the pig back.
So the guy got away even though they got his picture and he used a credit card?
Give the pig back to us, you know, no charges pressed.
Just well, bring that's the pig Detroit back police for
so
you right
he
there.
Can hang out on the counter like he has been.
That's kind of sad.
They actually have pictures of him in the news story.
Oh, this guy's going to get found. Why he hasn't turned the thing back in, I don't know.
He even has tattoos.
He's probably destroyed it, hidden the evidence. He ate the pig.
It's ceramic.
It was hungry.
I don't think I've ever had ceramic bacon before.
It's a little crunchy.
It's a little crunchy. A little overcooked.
You got to grind it up really well, mixing it with your soup.
Okay, we'll move on to Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma.
A suspect house burglar was left bloodied and beaten after a fist fight with the homeowner. Oklahoma City arrested Jonathan Wise, 19, for burglary. When officers took him into custody, Wise had two black eyes and needed stitches. Norm Houston, the homeowner, told police he found Wise inside his garage. I heard a thumping noise on my garage door, Houston said. I swung open my back door and somebody was standing there. Houston was face to face with Wise. According to Oklahoma City police, that's when Wise attacked Houston. So the burglar attacked the homeowner. The burglar started out by apologizing to him for getting into the garage and said he had fixed the damage only to follow that up by punching him in the face. Oklahoma City Police Master Sergeant Gary Knight said, although he didn't throw the first punch, Houston beat up Wise. Houston works as a personal trainer and specializes in boxing and kickboxing.
God.
You know, I ain't the toughest, but I can hold my own, Houston said.
Yeah, whatever. I ain't
Houston
the toughest.
Held Wise down on the ground until police arrived. Before he was taken to jail, police took Wise to the hospital for treatment. Yeah. Okay, this one's in Bismarck. I'm not sure where. Not sure where Bismarck is. Louisiana. A Bismarck woman says an acquaintance stole her wallet during a drug deal. Bismarck Police Sergeant Mark Buchena said a 41-year-old Bismarck woman reported at 9:09 p.m. Wednesday that she had gone to a basement laundry room in an apartment building to meet a man with whom she was acquainted and to buy drugs. Both the woman and her acquaintance are described in the police report as homeless. Buchena said the woman reported she took out her wallet and a $100 bill was visible among her cash. She said the acquaintance took her wallet and left. He was last seen north on Washington Street. Responding officers did not find the man in the area. So, yeah, she called and reported that her wallet was stolen during a drug deal.
Smart.
All right. This, we are actually back in... I think this is Florida.
Oh, good.
No, it's not. It's California. It's Hollywood. I think. I thought it was in Florida. Anyway, Jared Gurman of Long Island, oh, it's in Long Island, was arrested and charged with attempted murder after admitting shooting his girlfriend over an argument about AMC's zombie series, The Walking Dead, according to Nassau County Police.
You watched the new episode without me?
Actually, it's worse than that. According to NBC's local New York station, authorities said Gurman, 26, believed that what happened in the series about a man who wakes from a coma to a zombie apocalypse could happen in real life. He felt very adamant. Detective Lieutenant Raymond Coates said at a news conference Tuesday, there could be a military mishap that could result in some sort of virus being released that could cause a terrible thing to happen.
I have news for you people. As much as I love zombies and I think a zombie outbreak would be a blast, it will never happen. If they released a virus, we would all die.
His girlfriend found his ideas ridiculous.
Of course.
Police say the argument grew so heated that the unidentified woman didn't want to stay overnight, and he took her home. But he then continued to fight via text message, prompting her to return to, at around 2:30 a.m. to check on him. When she arrived, he was outside with a .22 caliber rifle.
What?
After trying to talk him down, he turned to walk up the stairs, and German fired a shot into her back. She suffered a pierced lung, a shattered rib, and a pierced diaphragm, and is in stable condition.
It's a damn good thing she didn't die.
German, who had several guns in the house, first told police the shooting was accidental, but later admitted it wasn't. So he shot her because...
Two things we need to... We've learned from this. One, guys, the girlfriend's always right, especially if she says she wants to go home for the night and doesn't want to stay over. You just say, I'm sorry, okay? Two... Zombies aren't real.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, people, we joke about it, but they're not real.
Okay, now we'll get into Florida.
Yay!
Another irresponsible gun owner busted.
You guys are making it so damn hard for me not to go political, aren't you? You did this on purpose.
No, these were just the stories I could find. Deputies responded, you're going to lose it here though. Deputies responded Friday morning to a report of gunshots being fired from a Ford Bronco along I-95.
OJ's loose. Run, everybody. OJ's loose.
Deputies arrested Thomas P. Ellis, the driver of the Bronco, at a racetrack gas station. A Smith & Wesson 44 caliber Magnum revolver with one live cartridge and five spent casings was reportedly found inside the man's Bronco. We haven't gotten to the good part yet. The 55-year-old Port Charlotte man told deputies that he was on his way to Merritt Island, had stopped to fish, and wanted to have some fun by firing his gun while he was fishing. He also told detectives he was firing at paper targets, according to the release. However, Merritt Island is north of St. Lucie County, and Ellis was firing his gun as he was traveling southbound on I-95. Deputy said the 55-year-old Port Charlotte man appeared worried and told them he had not slept in 4 days and didn't remember shooting from his Bronco. So not only did he fire his gun in his Bronco, he thought he was fishing as he was driving down I-95.
It is not the gun. It is mental issues. Seriously. Okay, I'm shutting up.
Ellis was charged with shooting from a vehicle within 1,000 feet of a person and carrying a concealed firearm. And that's the bad news for the night.
Thank you, Florida, for bringing us stupid people. Thank you. I really want to go to Florida and hang out at the Walmarts there because they have got to have the best Walmart people ever.
That would actually probably scare me more than probably anything.
Scar you for life.
Scar you for life, yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's just put a fence around Florida and just call it an institution, okay?
Piers Anthony actually did, didn't he?
No, that was New York.
He wrote the Zant series.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he did. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't read that. So
yeah.
Cool. Should we torment Tom? Do you have a Tom's big word?
Oh, you know what? I didn't, but I can find one here in a second if you would
like. Go to Facebook here.
I just have to find my...
You actually have a page that's like bookmarked for Tom's big words?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, God. For those that aren't aware, I have dyslexia, and Jess and Russ enjoy tormenting me with very, very large words. Multiple syllabical words. I usually get that right. And I don't allow them to say big words on the show because it just frustrates me, and the little squirrel in my head gets angry. So they thought it would be fun to start actually doing a segment called Tom's Big Word, where they send me a big word and I actually have to try to read it and then get define it. It's actually been quite hilarious. I think I've gotten two right out of, I don't know how many we've done now.
Did he get any right?
I've gotten two right.
Oh, with the pronunciation?
With pronunciation. I haven't gotten any of the definitions right, but I've pronounced them correctly.
It won't load my page. And this is the second page that I ran into, by the way. Okay, here we go. Da-da-da. Although I will be guessing the pronunciation as well.
I'm sure you'll do better than me. As long as it's not like Unifonachinanba. I don't know.
Let's see. We've already done that one.
Yeah, we don't want to do that one again. That's a horrible one. I can't even see it, and I can tell you it's horrible.
We've done that one.
Oh, we're running out of Tom's big words? Oh, God, no. Please, no.
Oh, no. I'm just going down them in alphabetical
order. No, this is only one website.
And it's only one page.
There's plenty of websites out there, I'm
Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks. I'm really excited about
we'll,
that.
We'll do...
happy about that one. Yay, me. Yay, Tom. So I've become obsessed with the gingerbread Oreo cookies. I don't know if you've had them, but they are to die for. And I've actually gotten sick a couple of times from eating them. I keep eating the damn things. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but...
Okay, we'll do this
I
one
like
just
the ones
because
that
I'm
are covered
sure
in
I
white chocolate. Oh my God.
Stacy last year took the peppermint ones, the ones that got the peppermint filling.
Yeah.
And covered them in chocolate.
Yeah.
So did you want this in the chat room?
No, send it to me on Facebook if you can. Because I'm not in the chat room because I'm still having issues. It seems that PQRN just doesn't like me at all. I'm convinced of that.
Guess enter doesn't help, doesn't send that, does it?
Nope.
Oh, there it is.
Holy shoot. What the crap?
That would be him receiving a message.
Like, freaked me out, and I didn't even hear anything.
Because me and him both jumped, and you jumped.
I'm gonna define it before I say it. The fear of loud noises. Dishophobia. Dishophobia.
That would be like the fear of plates. No, there's more to the word. There's some more syllables to that.
Dishophobia. Dishophobia. Dishbilphobia. Dishbilphobia. Dishabiliophobia. The fear of the hot dish.
Okay, I my guess would be dishabilophobia.
Dishabilophobia? Yeah. So the fear of disability? Or someone who has a disability?
No, it's actually, and there again, I just picked one that I thought I could pronounce. The fear of undressing or undressing in front of someone.
Oh, I have that. Nobody ever wants to see me naked. I don't even want
no,
to see
that would
me
be,
naked.
No, that would be the fear of seeing somebody undressed.
I don't even
want to
see myself naked. Why do they... I just really don't understand where...
How it breaks down?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I know it's Latin, usually.
Well, not necessarily. It can be Greek.
Or Greek. Yeah, well, okay. That's all
Greek
to me.
Greek, Roman, Latin, yeah. I guess Roman and Latin.
Well, I thought usually medical terminology was all pretty much Greek or Latin. I guess it depends
on
what.
I think, and that's, you look at, when you look in a dictionary, it tells you kind of where the origin of the word comes from.
What's a dictionary?
.com?
Maybe you should read one sometime.
I tried, but it was hard to follow. It kept changing.
The zebra did it. The zebra did it. I skipped to the end. I actually brought a dictionary on my mission because I figured it had all the words in it.
Yeah.
So it would be like reading all the books at once.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I brought a subject up on Facebook today about if people felt it would be wrong to investigate the site of a horrific event or some sort of major tragedy, which brought me to mind because of what happened on Friday. And I mean, our hearts and prayers go out to the families of those that lost people in Connecticut and in China. A lot of people aren't right. talking about that so much because it didn't happen in our country. But
well, not only that, but because none of them died.
There were no deaths. I thought 20 people were dead.
They were stabbed.
Oh, they were stabbed, but they survived.
They did not die. Okay, there was no deaths in China. And I think that's kind of the bigger difference.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were still kids. They were little kids.
Yeah, little kids. Our hearts and our prayers and our positive energy goes out to those families and the loss they had. Not just to the families that lost children, but to the family members of the person who actually committed the act.
Right, because they didn't choose that.
They didn't choose it. I think a lot of times people forget that they are going through as much as anybody else is because they're feeling guilty for what their loved one did.
Right.
It's just what happened.
They will live forever with the question, "What if?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not so. And I think anybody in that situation is going to be living with that question, "What if? What if I wouldn't have sent my kids to school that day? What if?"
Right.
You know what? And it's a horrible thing that happened. And I pray to God that it doesn't happen again. But usually, when one big event like this happens, there's usually a cascading of events.
Right.
That happen within the week or two because it seems like all the crazy people see it happen and go, well, I want the attention as well, and they have it as well.
Right.
So it's a horrible event and a sad thing. But it made me think about what do we do?
Hey, your puppies. Hey, your puppies.
What is the standard for paranormal investigators to approach that? I mean, obviously, we're not going to go wandering through that elementary right now with a digital recorder. I think that would be inappropriate. But I've always wanted to investigate a concentration camp in Germany. I have family that survived that Holocaust. I have relatives that died in that Holocaust. I've always been interested to wander through there and see what I could capture. But is it appropriate? And you said you've been thinking about this all day, Russ.
I have, and I've got I got to say, I've actually kind of changed my thought process on it because of some of the thoughts that I had. And I think, and we kind of asked the question, most of it came back to if you do it with the right respect and the right, it depends on what your motivation is.
Yeah, and if the family's approached you or things like that.
And I had quite a few different thoughts. Obviously, there has to be a time of grieving and mourning.
Yeah.
I think both on the part of those that survived and those, paranormally speaking, those that passed away.
Hmm.
There is a time frame where they are gaining closure. And hopefully, they all follow the path of the 95 or the 98% and they all cross over and none of them become earthbound.
Yeah.
That's the whole.
And I think we hope that with any situation that we go into.
Exactly. Whether you're talking, I mean, we'll talk the Twin Towers. We're going to talk. A prime example is one of the most investigated places in the country, Waverly.
Yeah, Waverly Hills, yeah.
People are going in there just for the thrill factor. There, I don't think the respect is there for the majority of the people that go in there. So in my opinion, okay, no, you wouldn't go do this elementary school because they're still in the grieving process. If you go in there to talk to, let's say, the teachers or the kids at this point, they haven't had the proper time to go through that grieving process to even try to cross over, which you hope that they do. But let's say 5 years from now or 10 years from now, somebody was to go in there to investigate that. If you go in, because, and this is where my thoughts changed. Let's say somebody in this catastrophe became earthbound. Do you really want them to be tormented like Mary was up at the mill? To be there for over 100 years without anybody going in there to try to help them understand and cross over. So if you give them that proper mourning time, the 5 or 10 years or whatever, you know, I mean, that's a gray area, to go in there and then try to counsel with them or do whatever you need to do, and that is your motivation to cross them over before they are there longer than the 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
In torment. Because that is, they are in torment. They are reliving that climactic ending, that confusion. Then I would say, yeah, go in there and do what you can to help those spirits. Not for your own selfish pleasures, not to see what evidence you can get, but to help those earthbound trapped spirits. But you have to give them the amount of time to find closure amongst themselves before you go in and investigate, distract them, and create a earthbound spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, I completely agree.
But then also go in open-minded, because let's say every one of them crosses over and you go in there so focused on that event that you aren't open enough to realize that maybe there is another spirit that's there from a different event, because schools have a lot of energy.
Oh,
we've all experienced that. To be open-minded to hear their story and help them, rather than be so focused on the most recent event that you think that's what the haunting has to be from, if that makes sense.
No.
And we're rebooting Tom's phone.
And now it's officially broken.
Yeah, probably. Hey, it survived.
So, anyway, you were going to make a point.
Yeah, and...
Because I know that that's probably a different thought than most people were actually thinking.
No, I completely agree with that. I think the other issue is that there is that factor of the evidence. People want to go to these places because they think they're going to get the best evidence. And is that how we really approach the paranormal? Or should we approach it? It depends
on the motivation.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
It depends on what state you're at. If you're the thrill seeker, like the ones that are going to Waverly, I don't think anybody is going into Waverly to try to understand the spirits and cross anybody.
No, they're going there because people say they see stuff all the time.
Exactly. Whereas if you treat it more like a residential or an investigation rather than a ghost hunt, you should never go there for a ghost hunt. You should go there for an investigation to try to help the spirits.
Yeah.
And if you go in with that motivation, it doesn't matter what evidence you come out with. A prime example is the residential that we ingested. We didn't come out of there with too much evidence, but we resolved the issue. We made the residents livable for the resident.
Yeah. Now, my point too is that going to let I'll use the concentration camp again. I do feel that there's probably a lot of spirits there that have a lot of unrest, that do want to talk, that do want to open up, and I think again it has to be done a certain way. Provoking would not even be in the farthest depths of my mind to want to do. Because of what they already went through.
Right.
I'd want to actually communicate with them and see what's left. But then you also have that language barrier as well and things like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because there is a lot of places that people investigate. I mean, some of the most active locations that I personally know have had some sort of tragic event happen at them. I mean, we're not talking the scale of 9/11 or the Holocaust or things like that, but some tragic event happened. And some of the best, some of the most interesting ghost stories I've heard have been from places that have had traumatic events. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it has to be approached a certain way. It has to be you have to be going there not for that thrill. You have to be going there for the fact that you want to understand what's happening. And you have to be willing to accept what you receive and not trying to add to it. I think a lot of times, too, paranormal investigators can add to the situation, can increase the activity because of what they're doing and how they're approaching it. And it can be a bad thing.
Right.
And an inexperienced paranormal investigator, a very inexperienced paranormal investigator is going to go in there just for the thrill. And I think that's wrong.
Well, and that's and then that goes back to it. If you were to be allowed to go into a concentration, let's say somebody allowed you to go into Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And you went in there and did an investigation, had a personal experience, felt like you communicated with somebody and you felt like you helped them cross over, and you walked out of there without one bit of tangible evidence.
I'd be happy, but you know,
and then you're in the right frame of mind to go in and investigate.
But then again, you got to think too that I mean, some of us have been doing this for a long, long time. We're not after the evidence. The evidence is cool. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy getting a good EVP, but I enjoy the environment of the situation a lot more than I do the EVPs. Getting something is great, but going into these locations to me is even better. And I've always said that. That I look at the history side of this more than I look at the paranormal side of it. I get to hang out in some really great old historic sites late at night without anybody telling me where to go. That, to me, is exciting.
Right.
You throw the ghost in on it, it's even better. And we've had a lot of investigations. We've got nothing that have been great experiences for us and have been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people get disappointed and they miss out on the opportunity of going back to that same place because they didn't get anything.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is if you have that personal experience, I mean, to me, I mean, that's what we're in it for. We're in it to help these earthbound, tormented spirits that we actually hope. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No.
But then on the other side of the coin, I'm thinking, yeah, after I go, I'm going to spend a few years really haunting the crap out of people.
And I want to as well. You know,
now that may change once I get to the other side. You know, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, you do. You never do know. And hopefully we find out. I guess my best advice and your best advice and probably Jess's is to approach those. Every investigation differently. Approach them, you know, what the situation is. You can't set a pattern to how you investigate. You've got to be open enough to and willing enough to accept where you are and how to go about it.
Well, right. And that's kind of what I'm saying is say you go to Auschwitz and you don't connect with any of them that were at the concentration camp, but you pick up somebody else. Would you be open enough to be able to
What if you picked up a German soldier that's there because he feels guilty for what he did?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to communicate with them and try to help them resolve their issues? You know, there is a lot of ifs in that. But again, it's how you approach it, the respect and things like that, because we all do investigate locations that have had tragic events, but horrific events, a completely different story.
Well, and a lot of times you don't know that event happened when you begin the investigation.
That's true. I mean, the Baron Willemill, we had no idea that it had happened. Right. Until I captured an EVP that I questioned. And it wasn't the greatest EVP in the world. I mean, it was clear enough that you could hear what it was, but it wasn't like crystal clear Class A EVP. I mean, I had to clean it up a little bit and listen to it, and a couple of people had to listen to it. But, I mean, I heard it audibly, and I had to go back and play it, which blew my mind. But, yeah. Have fun with this. That's the other thing. I think a lot of times people...
But do it with
respect,
an incredible amount of respect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your hobby. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's, I think, enjoying the hobby is good, but also too, respecting what you're doing and how you're going about doing it, and not accepting every answer. You know, questioning everything.
Right.
A lot of times, people will accept. well, I got touched or I felt something. Question it. So, all right. So we are done for the year because of holidays. I will be playing the best of next week. Hopefully, if I can get that all worked out and it works. Okay. We can't just play it on the server. I'm going to have to play it on my laptop next Monday night. And
if you can't connect in, I mean, I've got most of the episodes.
I was going to clip.
All best of
some stuff together, some Panda News and things like that. I was going to work on that Friday and Saturday night, get it done. And then I was going to work on a New Year's Eve episode as well. So.
And I can probably broadcast that into the PQRN network if that's...
Yeah, okay. We'll work it out. Thanks again, everybody. We've really enjoyed it. We've got a whole great year coming up. We've got some great events. If you're in the Utah area, too, I haven't plugged this for a while, but Conduit is coming up. It's May. And LTUE, Life, the Universe, and Everything, is in February 14th and 15th at the Provo Hilton, I believe, is where it's going to be.
Really?
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day?
It's going to be Valentine's Day this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's another great one. Conduit, of course. I'm still waiting to hear about WonderCon.
Only 2 days? LTUE, I thought, was 3 days last year.
It's 2 days. It's Friday and Saturday.
They don't do it on Sundays?
Yeah, they don't do it on Sundays.
Well, no, I thought last...
Maybe it is 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh, they did do it on a Thursday, huh?
It may be. Let me take a look here. Yeah, 14th, 15th, and 16th. You're right. It is. And I believe it's the Provo Hilton. I'll get more information on that. And then, of course, Conduit, which is at the Radisson downtown. That's always Memorial Weekend. It's a great, great event. Get your tickets early. You can save a lot of money. It's a great fan site. And our good friend Heather Joseph Whittem is going to be there. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm not quite sure who other the guests are. I don't really care about Heather. So,
Hey, you don't know. It could be somebody else.
I know there's some other guests coming. I'm just not quite sure who they are. And, of course, there's a lot of local authors that'll be there. I mean, Paul Jeunesse will be there. And I think they've got Brendan Mole coming. I know Howard Taylor's going to be there. Carter Reed will be there. I'm not sure if Dave Butler's coming down or not. I hope so. We will see Dave at LTUE.
See if you can get maybe Craig to go up, Craig Nyvall.
Yeah, Craig is actually going to be there. We had him talk, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. So
cool.
And then we also do have in April, SLC Nerd is coming as well. Yay. So I got to prep my Nerdvox. I got to get that done next week too. I'm doing How to Survive an 80s Horror Film.
Awesome.
I think that'll be fun. I'm going to do a whole PowerPoint and everything. Well, Stacy's going to help me, of course. And I have two other graphic artists that can help me as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, check out that Facebook page. Thanks again, everybody. We love you. We're great to have fans. I'm glad we're back. And we will see you on the flip side.
Night, all.
Good night.